He is here. He's right here in this room, in your heart. He is near, nearer than breath, heartbeat, nearer than you are to you, closer than second chance or next opportunity, closer than tonight or yesterday. He is real. More real than touch, see, hear, smell, or taste. More real than reality. He is our reality. More real than joy, pain, sorrow, or the love of being in love. He is present. Like space, wind, time, silence, night, He is waiting. Like creation, like words on the tip of tongue, like songs that have yet to be sung, He is beauty. In oranges, blues, every hue, every shade, sunset and sunrise, whisper His name. He is holy, different, made human, became human, forgave human. He is spirit. He cannot be touched, explained, like sweet seconds of prayer, like grandmother on knees, wood floor bare. He is sun. Distinctly three, distinctly one, the only wise, the only resurrector of lives. He is king, and no earthly throne can house, no amount of elegant words can espouse. He is moment and voice, power and choice, in word and deed, in fruit and seed, pierced side, nailed hands, nailed feet, innocent wounds that bleed. He is above. He is a father's love. He is maker of ways, of earth and wind, ancient of days. Have no fear. Our God is here. Our God is here.
Good morning, Easter people. Thank you for being with us today. What a beautiful day to get to come together wherever you are, whatever you are wearing, whatever you are feeling, whatever this day looks like for you. What a gift that we get to come together through this way. Last week we talked about how we understand the word Hosanna, rescue us. We understand that in a way that we have never understood it before. And I think today we understand Easter in a way that we've never understood it before. That first Easter, they were huddled alone, isolated in their homes. They were scared. They were in danger. They were grieving. They didn't know. They went to the tomb to anoint their dead Savior. And then when they got there, everything was different. Everything changed. And so today we know the end of the story. This is not it. This is not the end of the story. The end of the story is that Christ lives, He conquered death, and He stands with us. So would you, no matter how awkward it feels today, this morning, let's stand together and let's sing, Christ the Lord is risen today. Let's sing together.
Good morning, Broadway family. Welcome to worship on this special Sunday when we join with Christians from around the world and throughout the ages to celebrate the risen Christ, whose life, death, and resurrection mean that for us, the worst thing is never the last thing. For now, even death itself does not get the final say. As we encounter the living Christ today through our worship, may we be overwhelmed by his great power and may we be comforted by his unshakable hope. Although we are scattered out this morning worshiping together from our homes, we are united as one, and we want to hear back from you today. So whether you're worshiping on our online platform or you're using our app, you can access an online communication sheet. Through that sheet, you can let us know if you have any prayer requests, if there are any spiritual steps you'd like to take, if you have any questions for us, or if you're new, you can let us begin getting to know you a little bit. We would love to hear from you today. Also, later in our service, you are going to have the opportunity to give. Each Easter Sunday, we receive a special offering as we respond together each year to Jesus' call in Matthew 25, his call to love him by loving others in very practical ways, by attending to their hunger, their thirst, and their nakedness, by visiting them when they're imprisoned or sick. This morning, as we receive that offering, a small portion of those funds will stay here within the walls of our church to meet the needs of people who worship among us. However, a very large portion of those funds will be sent on to one of our strategic partners in the community that's doing very transformative work, Hotel Inc. Hotel advocates, educates, empowers, and shares in the work of our community to ensure all people have security through safe, affordable housing, healthcare, and nutritious food. In the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, when many families are facing even greater challenges to their security, Hotel Inc. has remained committed to this mission, getting very creative where needed to continue serving our community well. Executive Director Rondell Miller and Harold Busey, who also works at Hotel, both attend Broadway. And this morning, they share with us just a little bit about the adaptations that they're making to keep extending the love of Christ in very practical ways.
Hey, y'all, this is Rondell. I'm here with Harold. As many of you all know, Harold and I are both members there at Broadway, and we just wanted to catch up with everybody today and share. Harold, how have you been adapting your job here at Hotel Inc. as one of our housing navigators with the coronavirus?
Well, instead of making actual face-to-face communication with people or case management, we're doing it via the telephone, via email, sometimes Zoom, but we're making it work.
And when you're able to talk to people and share, ask them how they're doing, what are some of the things that we're hearing on how their lives have been changed already in the past month?
Well, a lot of people don't have employment anymore. There are a lot of elderly people that will actually cry on the phone because they've never had to use a service like this before. So, they feel guilty for having to use it. So we try to reassure them that way. We trade with several people over the phone. We're including cards that our volunteers have put in, prayer requests and things going in. So just making it as seamless and lifting people up as much as we can.
Thank you, Harold.
Many of you have been wondering about how you can serve in the midst of this crisis. Well, here's your chance. Today, you have the opportunity to team up with Rondell, Harold, and Hotel Inc., who are already on the ground making a big impact in our community. Through the gifts that you give to the Matthew 25 Fund today, you'll be helping them to serve over 600 families in our area. You'll be invited to give at the end of our service today. But as we enter into this time of worship now, let me invite you to join me in the call to worship that will be on your screen, if you would supply the responses that are marked all. Friends, the tomb is empty. The stone has been rolled away. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. For 3 days, Christ lay in that cold and lonely cave. But God's love cannot be contained by anything, not even death. Thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our risen Lord. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Come, let us worship the risen Christ.
Circumstance. Right now, what we are doing, we are worshiping and we are writing our direction, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus, we praise you. We sing your story this morning as we come and as we lift you up. Let's sing it to our hearts. I've been singing it to my heart this weekend, just singing over hearts so we can sing it into the world. The moon and stars, they sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. Heaven looked away, the Son of God. Praise you that absolutely nothing can separate us from your love. The sin that is so great in us. Man, I feel like when we're left alone with ourselves and spent time, I feel like I know I'm facing that a lot more than I can't hide with my job, and I can't hide with my busyness, and I can't hide with all the other stuff I have going on. So I'm dealt to deal with it and the effects that it has on my immediate family. God, I'm sorry for the ways that I just look to myself. But God, I'm so grateful that you don't hold my sin against me, because you bore it all on the cross. That is what we remember, that you took our sin, you took our shame, you took what should be ours, and you took it upon yourself. What love is this, that you would lay down your life for us, who are your enemies, who often want to choose our own way? So Jesus, this morning we look to you. We see that our sin and shame has been put on you, and that we are buried with Christ, and that we are raised to life with Christ. This morning, our victorious King, Jesus, we do not want to share your glory. We want to give you all glory and honor and praise this morning. God, would you be lifted up? Jesus, would you be glorified and magnified through our circumstances and our homes? We're singing it out. We're singing, Jesus, you are worthy. You are worthy. We praise you, Jesus. You are our hope. You are our promise. You are our security. Holy Spirit, you are the seal in us, reminding us that we are made for home. We are longing for home. We are longing to be with you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Forever we will be with you. We can never be separated from you, Jesus. I praise you. I praise you, praise you, praise you. Oh, Father, would you continue to speak to us and through us this morning? You are here with us. Holy Spirit, speak. We are listening. In your name, Jesus, we pray, put our total confidence.
hear now the word of God from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you? While he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Last year on Good Friday, Jenny and I gathered with a capacity crowd at Bridgestone Arena, 20,000 people singing praise to Jesus with Chris Tomlin as our worship leader. Now, the great thing about singing with that many people is that you can't hear yourself. And even better, nobody else can either. And so it was easy to get lost in the moment, that Good Friday moment, focusing on Jesus and the cross, the one who had left the riches of heaven to come to the poverty of our humanity, to endure the cross and its shame, and to enter the cold, dark tomb. It was a powerful moment. I remember distinctly sensing a realization that Jesus was, in fact, worthy of everything that I could give, all my love, all my worship, all my service, whatever sacrifice, whatever it took. And it seemed like 20,000 voices were not even enough to offer that praise that Jesus was worthy of. Today, almost a year later, it's hard to imagine even that many people gathered in one space. Can we on this Easter morning sort of just acknowledge that this is a unique situation? It's strange for us. A very different Easter than anyone in living memory has ever experienced before. We aren't doing a lot of things that we normally do. There aren't going to be large family gatherings. There's no Easter egg hunt at the Foundry. And for those of us at church especially, there's no large capacity crowd at church. We've never done it this way before. Instead, we're doing Easter in our homes, and we are making adjustments. Some of us who are used to sitting on the back row are still figuring out how to do so at home. In the Mac, we often stack our chairs at the end of the service, and people are still doing that in their homes, apparently. We have found creative ways to do immersion baptisms and infant baptisms. And in all seriousness, I've been so impressed by our church, by the ways that you've made adjustments and sort of just rolled with it. I've been so impressed and humbled by our staff in the ways that they are finding to serve you in this moment. We are doing hard things, and I want to acknowledge that this morning. A year ago in the crowd of 20,000 people, I could not have imagined, nor could anyone else have imagined, that it would be impossible to gather even with 20 people on this Easter Sunday. Also, this time last year, we could not have imagined the amount of loss and grief and heartache that we would have experienced as a church. In the last year, I have stood over the graves of two of my friends. I've watched their families grieve to their core. My friends grieve. You have your own experience of loss and grief and perhaps death. And all of us in this moment are grieving the loss of something that we just really even don't even recognize the full extent of yet. We don't know. There's a lot of uncertainty. And so it may be a disruption for some, but there are others of us who are fearful for their lives. And there are people around the world and in our community who are facing death. And to not be able to meet, to speak resurrection hope together in one space in this moment after all we've been through in some ways feels like a cruel trick. Or maybe not. And I've begun to think about this differently as we've come to this moment. What God is doing as we're trying to sense what that is, I've begun to realize that maybe this Easter and our experience of it puts us in a place to understand the very story that we proclaim in a new way. To understand what resurrection hope really is and to the level of hope that we experience when we hear this very story. I want to give witness to my own faith this morning on a personal level, and speaking for the people of Broadway, I sense that our faith is only growing, that our hope is even more grounded. I sense that our love for one another is more real than ever before, and that our identity is being found not in crisis, but in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the very thing that we do proclaim. We are living it out. We are resurrection people. We are Sunday people. A living reminder of Jesus in this moment. This realization for us, the power of the resurrection, is being sensed in our interactions with one another. We're living it out. Christ is with us. And that realization is only becoming clearer as we experience crisis. That in fact, we are living it out in powerful ways and are better able to love God and each other. So I've begun to think about today differently, as weird and as different as it is. Maybe our current circumstance helps us understand the story. This Easter, like the very first Easter, is set in the context of uncertainty and isolation and death. Women walking in the pre-dawn hours weren't wearing bright dresses, but were shrouded in deep darkness and great uncertainty. There were no large crowds. Instead, the first disciples were scattered in their homes, scared and separated, and death had them wondering where God was in the midst of their crisis. What they found was that God was alive and well and active and overcoming in the midst of uncertainty and isolation and death. And so do we. The first Easter was set in that context of uncertainty. Women who had lost everything were uncertain what was next. They had nothing left to lose, and so they were going to do what was the only thing they could do, to anoint Jesus' body for burial. But what they found when they got there instead was not a body, but a stone rolled away. And two men who were bright like lightning, who said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" And then five words in Greek: "He is not here. He has been raised. He is not here. He is risen." Now, we tend to think that this was the aha moment for them, that suddenly everything became clear, but that's not actually what we read in the story, that in fact the uncertainty continues. The women don't know what to make of this. They go back and they tell the disciples, and the disciples feel like these women are speaking crazy talk, Luke says. Peter goes back to the tomb and he sees it with his own eyes, but still he isn't certain as well. And Luke tells us that he walks away wondering, confused about what all of this could mean. We are facing our own uncertainty. Uncertainty on a global scale. It's hard to make decisions. We don't know. We don't have sort of a frame of reference for how to move forward. And that creates anxiety and stress. And yet faith is made for times of uncertainty. That's the whole point. That fact, faith is most powerful when we recognize our human limitations and acknowledge what we can't know. Now, that doesn't mean that we aren't going to struggle. It doesn't mean that we're not going to feel anxious at times. It certainly does not mean that we need to ignore good information or to act unwisely in this moment. But what it does mean is this, that faith is a critical ingredient in the recipe for this moment. That we are going to need faith and to walk in faith in the midst of uncertainty. And there is something we can know, for as much as we don't know, there is something we can know. Corrie Ten Boom, who faced the uncertainty of her own life and her sister's life, and her sister ultimately died in a concentration camp, she writes, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." John Ortberg has written a great deal about uncertainty and doubt in his book, No Doubt, K-N-O-W, No Doubt. He writes this, "We all think we want certainty. We don't. What we want is trust, wisely placed." I think that helps guide us in this moment. These days, I've put my trust, and we have put our trust in health experts who are updating us moment by moment as we learn what to do, what not to do, and how to be faithful. My trust has been in this community, in the people around me, the church, the staff, the leaders, the people praying and discerning God's will. Spiritual discernment continues to guide us as a people, and that gives me great comfort, and I don't feel like I'm in this alone, and you aren't either. And our trust is ultimately in God, in the one who overcame death, who holds our lives in his hands, whether we recognize it or not, whether we feel comfortable or whether we're in crisis, it doesn't matter. The circumstances may change, but that reality does not. And so uncertainty can actually help us live more faithfully, more honestly, as we place our lives in God's hands, and trust him. Now, the women at the tomb didn't understand, and I personally take comfort in that. These heavenly messengers had to explain it to them yet again. "Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified on the third day, be raised again." Then they remembered his words. Did you catch that? It wasn't when the stone was rolled away. It wasn't when they found the body wasn't there. But it was when these heavenly messengers explained to them yet again what Jesus had said. And Jesus had said it three times in Luke's gospel up to this point. He had also called them to take up their cross and follow him. And I imagine they thought they understood what that meant. But it wasn't until this moment of uncertainty that it became clear. In 1914, Ernest Shackleton was recruiting a crew for a dangerous mission to sail to Antarctica and then to cross the Antarctic continent all in one trip for the very first time. And so he placed this ad to recruit his crew. Men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. Now, Shackleton was looking for a 27-man crew. 5,000 showed up to be interviewed for a spot. Those of us who follow Jesus should be reminded that we didn't sign up for comfort, but for service. And we may have thought we understood what that meant, but times of uncertainty teach us otherwise. We signed up not for certainty, but for a journey that asks us to join God in the redemption of the world and to do so in the face of great obstacles. For some of us in this moment, that has meant staying home, being brave enough and courageous enough to make sacrifices, to love our neighbor as Jesus has asked us to do by not spreading disease, to love Jesus and to love neighbor by protecting the most vulnerable among us. And I just want to thank you for doing that, to think of that as an act of faith and discipleship and courage in the name of Jesus. What you're doing is being faithful. Now, that is harder for some groups of people than others, and we want to acknowledge that. I want to, in this moment, thank those who are doing hard things, students who are studying at home, and teachers who are making adjustments on the fly, and parents who are becoming teachers. We recognize the sacrifice of high school seniors who are giving up a bit of their dream, business owners and laid off workers, and leaders within our community who are making tough decisions for the benefit of the whole. That is also an act of discipleship and faithfulness. And your sacrifice on behalf of others is something we all appreciate. Some of us have to take risks. We have to go to work. And I want to thank all of those who are serving us, who are providing essential services, and who are living out your calling in the midst of uncertainty. I especially want to thank our healthcare heroes. Jesus asks us to do hard things. This has been our motto for the last year. We can do hard things. And here we are again, humbled by you, stepping into this moment, into your calling. The resurrection of Jesus speaks to these hard things. It teaches us, in fact, that the worst thing is never the last thing. The worst thing is never the last thing. And so for those of you who are acting courageously, we want to encourage you and to remind you that whatever is uncertain, we can hold to this certainty in faith as the ground of our hope and the reason we sacrifice in love of neighbor. We are humbled by your service and sacrifice and courage. The resurrection also speaks to isolation, and isn't that an important part of this moment? Some of us are very isolated right now. All of us are detached from one another in some way or another that is new. Not as many hugs, not as many handshakes, not as many smiles can make us all feel alone. We can't always be present for those who are sick or even for those who are dying, and that just goes contrary to everything that we are wired for. We're not made for this. God spoke over Adam in the garden and said, man, it's not good for man to be alone. This makes me think of a time when we were separated as a family, actually in 2007, when my daughter Sarah Grace was born. She was born in a place 2,500 miles away. We were separated by space. We were also separated by time. We knew about Sarah Grace from about a week into her young life, and yet we weren't able to be with her until she was about 9 months old. And that time was hard. I remember waiting for pictures and updates. I remember struggling to have faith that we would get through and that God would provide. I remember praying a whole lot and realizing that I thought I had trusted God, but was learning to trust God even more. I definitely remember the moment we saw her for the first time after all of that waiting. And I remember distinctly coming back home, setting foot on U.S. soil. There was a sign at the airport that said, "Welcome to the United States of America." And I wept. It was a time of growth for us. Separation can be that. It can put us in the place of a God who knows this same separation. Separation is part of the Easter story as well. It reminds me of the lines from a song, "Crucified, laid behind the stone, you live to die, rejected and alone." God's own Son left the unbroken connection he had with the Father to come for us, to live for us and to die for us, to end up on a cross crying out to God, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And that forsakenness of the cross is carried into the tomb. The women of Easter were walking in that same forsakenness, thinking of death as the great separator. But the resurrection of Jesus speaks to this as well, decisively, that absolutely no obstacle can ultimately separate us from God, that all true separation from God and from one another and within the creation itself has been overcome. We now live with the unshakable possibility of communion with God and with each other. We are never actually alone. We are never actually alone. And so we might not be together in physical ways, but by the power of God's love, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Nothing can separate us from the very presence of God. We are learning what disease and isolation and death can take away from us, and we are learning what disease and isolation and death cannot take away from us. Our humanity, our compassion, and the very presence of God. John Wesley's last words on his deathbed were this: best of all, God is with us. And this is true. And we claim that as we walk into community rather than separation. Even when we are isolated from one another, we stand together on God's word that unites us, the truths which Jesus left to guide us. We stand together in acts of compassion and mercy and hospitality that put hands and feet to the agape love of Jesus. We're leaning into intentional uses of technology, forcing us in some ways to take steps which make it possible to see and hear one another and force us into conversations that we might not have had otherwise. It's not all bad. And we are united together in prayer. We are present for one another in prayer. Back to that time when we were adopting Sarah Grace, I remember after it was all over, having this remarkable discovery that if I could spend 9 months, the first 9 months of my daughter's life with her, but not pray for her, or if I could spend that first 9 months away from her, but be able to pray, that I would choose to be able to pray, that God could do something in our separation that was beyond anything that we could do being together. And this is part of the resurrection reality, the presence of God and God's ability to be there with us and with each other and with those who might even be alone. Finally, the Easter story is about something we spend a lot of our time trying to avoid: death. And it wasn't just death. It was the excruciating death of a cross, the shameful death of a criminal. The women were looking for death that first Easter morning. But there in the place where they would least expect to find God, that is where they in fact found God. In the place of greatest defeat, we encounter the most decisive victory. Where, O death, is your victory, the scripture says. Where, O death, is your sting? The prospect of death is more real for us right now. It is possible that some of us are facing death in some way or will in the weeks ahead. Now, probably not, but all of us will at some point. And most of us spend a lot of our lives trying to live in denial of that. But that first Sunday, that first Easter, that first resurrection day, they stared death in the face. And what they found there revealed one of the most important of all truths: that God's love is more powerful than even death, that nothing can separate us from God's love for us in Christ, that those who walk in the valley of the shadow of death nevertheless live in the reality of the resurrection. As someone has said, we might walk through the valley, but we don't buy real estate there. And so to those of you who might find yourselves in the valley of the shadow of death on this Easter morning, there is good news. One of the first Easter sermons that has survived into modern times was proclaimed by John Chrysostom, who lived from 347 to 407 after Christ. And so this Easter message has been proclaimed for 1,600 years over all kinds of historical realities and critical moments, over generations of our ancestors who have found in Christ not only comfort and not only peace, but courage and hope to live faithfully, passionately, and boldly in the face of their challenges. And so today, with that historical perspective in view, I want to close speaking these words of victory and hope over you today. Let no one fear death, for the Savior's death has set us free. He that was held prisoner of it has annihilated it. By descending into hell, he made hell captive. It was embittered, for it was mocked. It was embittered, for it was slain. It was embittered, for it was overthrown. It was embittered, for it was fettered in chains. It took a body and met God face to face. It took earth and encountered heaven. O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? Christ is risen and you are overthrown. Christ is risen and the demons are fallen. Christ is risen and the angels rejoice. Christ is risen and life reigns. Christ is risen and not one dead remains in the grave. For Christ, being risen from the dead, has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. To him be glory and dominion unto ages of ages. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, please, let's stand together. We're separated, but let us join our hearts and our spirits, and let's continue praising our risen and, most importantly, living God.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest strife. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death
chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your
Thank you for being here today. Next Sunday, we will be launching a new sermon series called All Things New. There has been a whole lot of newness in our lives these past few weeks, right? And as we've experienced this new reality, we've been trying to figure out new ways of living, which can be very tiring and exhausting and just hard. However, it can also be this big opportunity if we let it be. A big opportunity to see our God more clearly, to see how he is at work redeeming and restoring and setting things right so that we can join him in that. I look forward over these next few weeks in joining you in discovering how we can be faithful to Christ and how we can join God in his work to make all things new. As a quick reminder, if you haven't had the chance yet, fill out that online communication form. We would love to hear from you today. And then finally, as we prepare to go today, I want to invite and encourage you to give. If you'd like to continue to support the mission and ministry of Broadway, you can give to our general fund today. However, we also encourage you today to very generously give to the Matthew 25 Fund in support of the tremendous work of Hotel Inc. You can give in several ways. If you're worshiping online, there's a button at the top of the screen that allows you to do that. You can use the Broadway app to give, which if you don't have it yet, you can get by texting BUMC app to 77977, or you can visit BroadwayUnited.org/give. Once you get there, if you want to give to that Matthew 25 fund, simply click that drop-down box by fund and select Matthew 25. Again, thank you for being here today. Would you join me in the benediction that is on our screen? As Christ bursts forth from the tomb, may new life burst forth from us and show itself in acts of love and healing to a hurting world. And may the same Christ, who is the source of our new life, keep our hearts rejoicing and grant us peace this day and always. Amen. May you go now in the power of the resurrection. Amen.